hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Miami, Florida. That's where the U.S. men's national soccer team has opened a training camp ahead of friendly matches against Cuba in Havana and New Zealand right here in Washington. During a Facebook Live video chat, the USA's head coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, talked about his roster and the friendly matches.
We're preparing for two interesting friendlies these days, one on Friday in Cuba, a very historic place, a very special opportunity for us to go to Havana and play a friendly in Cuba. And then 4 days later, we play our friendly game in Washington, D.C. against New Zealand. We put a roster together full of kind of experienced guys. I think 14, 15 of those players were with us the last games in World Cup qualifying. But also some younger players that we would like to see that have a chance to make an impression. A few ones come back into our roster. So I think it's a really good group of guys that all are very, very eager to prove a point. And the bigger picture behind, obviously, is Mexico on November 11th in Columbus. So these two games, hopefully, should give us a hint on where the players stand right now and what kind of a flow they are. And so we're looking forward to these two friendlies, and especially I think the first one with Cuba is a very interesting one because you don't really know what to expect. You go into a place that kind of you're very curious to see how it looks like there and to interact with the people there. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Coach Klinsmann talks about how Friday's match against host Cuba will be pretty cool. It's the first friendly in Havana between the longtime political adversary since 1947. However, the teams did play a World Cup qualifier in the Cuban capital 8 years ago. The USA defeated Cuba in that match 1-0 on a goal by Clint Dempsey in the 40th minute. Dempsey has been a key player in the U.S. attack, but he's been sidelined recently with an irregular heartbeat. One of Coach Klinsmann's Facebook friends, Corey Brooks, asked him during the video chat, how hopeful are you of a return by Dempsey to the U.S. team?
Obviously, we are very, very hopeful that Clint is soon again part of our group. Because of his kind of heart issue right now, they just keep him monitor, they want to make sure that he's not going back too early, but we're very, very positive by talking to the Seattle Sounders that he's going to be back with us, probably not in the next couple of weeks, but definitely in the upcoming season. So that's a good message.
Jurgen Klinsmann was named head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team in July 2011, officially taking charge 1 day after Bob Bradley got the boot. On Monday, the 58-year-old Bradley was appointed the new manager of Swansea City in the English Premier League, and Coach Klinsmann is sending kudos.
Another big coach making headlines, Bob Bradley becoming coach at Swansea City. I think this is super exciting because he's the first American coach coaching in the Premier League, and this is huge. So huge compliment to him, big congratulations to him and to Swansea City, and we keep all our fingers crossed that things are going well for him in his new adventure. I think he totally, totally deserves that opportunity.
That's Jurgen Klinsmann, the head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team, speaking during a Facebook Live video chat in Miami, Florida.
The
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Bogota, Colombia, where FIFA President Gianni Infantino has outlined a plan to expand the World Cup from 32 teams to 48. During a speech in Bogota, Infantino suggested that 16 of those teams would go home after just one knockout match, and the remainder of the tournament would be played as now with a 32-team group stage followed by a knockout phase. The FIFA president said expanding the World Cup to 48 teams means more countries and regions all over the world would be happy. Under Infantino's plan, the World Cup would feature 80 matches instead of the current 64. And more matches means more money for FIFA, already a very rich organization. With more matches, that would drive up the price broadcasters would pay for rights to watch the world's most watched sporting event. FIFA earned an estimated $5 billion. You heard me right, VOA World Cup fans. $5 billion from the 2014 World Cup tournament in Brazil. In pro boxing, world heavyweight champion Tyson Fury says he's here to stay after earlier suggesting he had retired from the fight game. During an expletive-filled rant on Twitter, the 28-year-old Fury wrote, "Boxing is the saddest thing I ever took part in, all a pile of expletive, and I'm also retired." But a few hours later, Tyson Fury was back on social media, suggesting his earlier claim was a joke. I think my man Namdi Moeta might say Tyson Fury is a big joke. A big joke, Tyson Fury. Fury withdrew from his scheduled October 29th rematch with Vladimir Klitschko because of reported mental health issues. There also have been recent reports that Fury tested positive for cocaine and he'll face a hearing next month for alleged doping violations. With all the various sanctioning bodies in professional boxing, it can be difficult to keep up with the various champions. So for our VOA boxing fans keeping score, Tyson Fury is the World Boxing Association heavyweight champion, as well as the World Boxing Organization champion, and he's recognized as the World Heavyweight Champ by The Ring magazine. Another British fighter, Anthony Joshua, is the International Boxing Federation's heavyweight champion, while American Deontay Wilder is the World Boxing Council's heavyweight champion. Meanwhile, October 30th marks the 42nd anniversary of the Rumble in the Jungle, the epic clash in Kinshasa between George Foreman and Muhammad Ali. This promises to be a bittersweet anniversary. After Ali's death on June 3rd this year, he was 74, the late, great Ali, employing his rope-a-dope strategy, tired out Big George Foreman and knocked him out in the eighth round. Big George was among those paying tribute to Muhammad Ali after his death.
Muhammad Ali is something you would never see. I met the most nice-looking, the most handsome guy I'd ever met in my life, and he was a boxer. I mean, he belongs to the arts. He belongs to politicians. And he belongs to science. What a phenomenon. It's something we won't see again, I can tell you that. The one thing about Muhammad, we would meet all the time and discuss Bible scriptures and religion. We'd argue so much and argue that we get thirsty and hope to meet again so that we could do some more arguing and get thirsty. But we always ended with a big embrace. He loved me.
And people all over the world loved Muhammad Ali. Veteran boxing promoter Bob Arum met Ali almost 50 years ago. He says what Ali accomplished outside the boxing ring was far greater than what he did inside the ring.
I think when you talk about Muhammad Ali, at the great an athlete, a great a boxer as he was, the greatest boxer of all time, he means so more to the United States and to the world. He was a transformative figure in our society. People can't imagine, looking back in the 60s, how things were for African-American people. They were fighting in the southern states and border states for basic rights to use a bathroom, to sit at a lunch counter, to stay at a non-segregated hotel. And in the North, things weren't so much better. The opportunity for African-Americans was limited. African-Americans were expected not to speak up, not to raise their voices in protest. And then Muhammad Ali came along. And while Martin Luther King was talking sense and talking about progress that could be made in his soft-spoken way, Ali, with his big mouth, was thundering and demanding rights for African-American people and standing up for what was right. So when I look back at his life, and I was blessed to call him a friend and spent a lot of time with him, it's hard for me to talk about his exploits in boxing because as great as they were, they paled in comparison to the impact that he had on the world.
That's 84-year-old boxing promoter Bob Arum reflecting on the legacy of the late, great Muhammad Ali. During his younger days and before suffering from Parkinson's disease, which affected his speech, Muhammad Ali would engage in playful poetry with fellow fighters and with the media. So it's only fitting that after his death, Muhammad Ali is being celebrated in poems. Liberia's former Minister of Planning and Economic Affairs, Dr. Togbana Tipote, wrote and voiced one for us. Let's give it a listen.
The Right to Be, a poem in memory of Muhammad Ali, the greatest boxer. Born out of clay, in the light of day, with no relations to Cassius or Rome, no place to call my home, now I'm grown up, but fed up with the slave system forced on me by them, bent on bending my dignity, bent on crushing my integrity, blocking the doors of useful opportunity, spreading injustice with all impunity, determination being my calling through my parental upbringing. I opened the boxing door, working hard from the floor to become the greatest boxer of all, standing tall to no one fall. Moving like a fly, on my determination rely, stinging like a bee, flexing my right to be. From the rumble in the jungle to the cellar in Manila, I remain the greatest, surviving all kinds of tests. Even the test on the Vietnam War that seemed not to thaw, when the biggest democracy, with its blend of hypocrisy, used the money to test my integrity. Again, I survived with dignity. Through the grace of Allah, the grace of God, without any demeaning order, because I am the greatest, passing all kinds of tests, spreading love and justice for all, for my dignity to stand tall. Yes, I am Muhammad Ali, exercising my right to be.
That's Dr. Togbana Tipote, Liberia's former Minister of Planning and Economic Affairs, with his Muhammad Ali tribute poem, The Right to Be.
I am the greatest. This kid fights great. He's got speed and endurance. But if you sign to fight him, increase your insurance. I am the greatest.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Joining us once again on the Voice of America is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What is trending on this Tuesday in the sports world?
Well, I heard your earlier report about the big FIFA changes that might be coming with that speech from FIFA President Gianni Infantino. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that because it's getting a big reaction on social media. Of course, Infantino said that in 2026, so not too near future, but down the road, that the World Cup could see 48 teams playing instead of 32 and then have 16 teams participate in kind of a knockout round where it'd be one and done. If they lose, they're out. Fans, you know, have had mixed reaction to this. Some fans have said, oh, great, more soccer, more games, more excitement. This is going to be awesome.
More money for FIFA.
More money for FIFA. Well, that's the other angle. So there's one angle where the fans say more soccer, that's great. There's the cynical angle where they're saying, of course, it's more money for FIFA. That's why they're doing this. But then there's the angle where fans are saying, you know, this is going to be actually detrimental to the World Cup. They said that it's putting quantity over quality. They'd rather see really good matches instead of watching these one and done kind of things, having to have a team fly to wherever the World Cup is, play this match, and then be out. But then other fans say it's going to make it more exciting. So it's kind of a mixed bag on social media. We'll see as it gets closer if they actually enact this plan to have more teams, how fans react to it then.
I think there probably is that question. You know, teams that have never qualified for the World Cup would now maybe get that opportunity to be on football's biggest stage. But again, it could dilute the product, that we'd see a weaker brand of football.
Yeah, and that's the debate that we're having right now on social media. Now, the interesting thing to note here in the U.S., we've seen this expansion happen in several sports. In the NCAA basketball, college basketball March Madness, they have now four play-in games, they call them. So instead of 64 teams, it's now 68 teams that have to play, and their first four matchups are kind of one and done to get into the tournament. And then in Major League Baseball, we're looking at the playoffs this week, actually tonight and tomorrow, for the wild card game. It used to be the wild card team just went right into the playoffs. Now the two wild card teams have to play each other for that privilege to make it into the playoffs and play another team. So we do see this a lot more in sports, this expansion. I think a lot of it does have to do with money. The fans who have pointed that out are probably right on the money when they say that. But I think it's also to bring more sport to the fans. So we'll see, like I said, as this debate is going to continue for at least the next 10 years, if they want to bring this into 2026 World Cup. We'll continue to have that debate until then.
And in terms of the one-and-done wild card games in Major League Baseball, one of the one-and-done teams, Andrew, the San Francisco Giants, playing your beloved New York Mets, I think tomorrow night.
They are, yeah.
On Wednesday night. Well, I was checking the record books. I think a couple years ago, the Giants made it to the World Series as a wild card team, and they played another wild card team, the Kansas City Royals, in the World Series. The Giants prevailed. So there is a history that you don't necessarily have to be the top team to make it to, you know, baseball's biggest event.
Exactly. And so that'll be the interesting thing, too. If they expand to these 48 teams, if one of those teams who's part of that extra 16 can make a run at it and play that extra game and go for it. So we'll see if that can happen. But it's going to be interesting to watch that. And in the near term, interesting to watch the baseball playoffs for my beloved New York Mets, as you said.
Go Mets.
Yes, thank
you. All right,
you.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
So the other big story we have today is Maria Sharapova. We've talked about her on the show before, suspended for 2 years for taking that banned drug meldonium that she said was for health purposes, but then it ended up on a banned list and she was subsequently banned. Well, she appealed this ban to the Court of Arbitration of Sport and they approved her appeal. So her sentence or her ban has gone from 2 years to just 15 months. Now, this is very interesting timing because that means she'll return to tennis April 2017, which puts her right in time for the French Open in May of 2017 and Wimbledon in June and July. So it's good news for Maria Sharapova. Her fans are kind of rejoicing that she's going to come back to tennis. They're already predicting, oh, she's going to welcome back to tennis with a huge, you know, win in Roland Garros, and others are not so sure that she's going to be coming back in such a strong form. But one person said that it would be a way to stick it to the International Tennis Federation for her to win the French Open. Someone joked and said, well, is she going to seek an exception now for the Meldonium? She said she had to take it for health purposes. So is she going to seek an exception to continue taking it? So we'll see in the next few months as she starts to make her return, starts to practice and warm up, how she does. And that French Open, there are going to be a lot of eyes on Maria Sharapova to see if this time off has hurt her career or if she can come back in full form.
Maria Sharapova has not had the best of luck against Serena Williams in their history, but Maria is a little younger than Serena. I'm checking the record books now. 29 years old, so yeah. I think she might still have some good tennis left in her.
She very well could, but I think, to your point, I think the record is 17-0 in favor of Serena, or maybe 17-1. I think the only time in the Grand Slams that Maria's beat her was in that final in Wimbledon, her first major, Maria Sharapova, that she won. Kind of a huge upset as a teenager when she won that. So we'll see if she can come back. You know, Serena has not been in form recently, but she's had such good success against Maria. But I think a lot of people are going to want to see that matchup. Also, maybe Maria Sharapova, Angelique Kerber, around the same age. But look what's happened in the past year. Maria's been out of the game, and Angelique Kerber's risen to become number one in the world. So lots of good matchups that could happen at Roland Garros this year.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
The other big trending matchup is Real Madrid versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, this is not Real Madrid, the soccer team, the football team. This is Real Madrid, the basketball team, playing Oklahoma City Thunder of the National Basketball Association and beating the Oklahoma City Thunder 142-137 in overtime in a game in Madrid. Now, this is part of the NBA Global Games. They're doing a series of games around the world. They're actually doing two next week in Beijing and Shanghai. And this is part of the NBA's effort to try to bring more fans around the world into the National Basketball Association to get more people involved around the world. But there's a lot of people, a lot of fans trying to pick apart this loss for the Thunder, saying, you know, is it time to start panicking that they lost to this team? Should we start worrying about the season? The season hasn't even started yet, keep in mind. It doesn't start till later in October. People are already worrying about this. And again, this back and forth, people saying, you know what? Real Madrid, the basketball team, has had such success, and they've been playing together for so long, and this is a new Oklahoma City Thunder team that's trying to, you know, feel out with some new players, that maybe take a step back, take a deep breath, doesn't mean anything. A lot of people also pointing to Victor Oladipo, who got traded over from the Orlando Magic, scored 34 points, had some great dunks that were these viral video clips on social media. So people saying, you know what, let's just relax. He played really well. Looks like the team's doing well. They still scored 137 points, even though they lost. So just because it's one loss doesn't mean that they're going to have a poor NBA season coming up. But we'll be on the lookout for those games October 9th and 12th in Shanghai and Beijing between the Houston Rockets and New Orleans Pelicans. They'll face off in those two games.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the October 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to Voice of America engineer, Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The countries of Africa want partners, not patrons. They want trade, not aid. The United States is determined to be that partner, to accelerate the next era of African growth for all Africans, said President Barack Obama at the second meeting of the U.S. African Business Forum. American investment in Africa is up 70%. U.S. exports to Africa have surged. In the 2 years since the last business forum, American and African companies have concluded deals worth nearly $15 billion, which will support African development across the board, from manufacturing to healthcare to renewable energy. The deals and commitments that were announced at this year's U.S.-African Business Forum add up to more than $9 billion in trade and investment with Africa. So while progress is being made, it is still only scratching the surface. Despite significant growth in much of the continent, Africa's entire gross domestic product, or GDP, is still only about the GDP of France, and only a fraction of U.S. exports, about 2%, go to Africa. A key to changing this scenario is to increase access to electricity for the two-thirds of sub-Saharan Africans who lack it. 3 years after launching Power Africa, large portions of Nigeria, Tanzania, and Rwanda are getting access to electricity. This means that students can study at night and businesses can stay open. The U.S. and GE just announced a public-private partnership to support energy enterprises managed by women in Africa. I believe we can bring electricity to more than 60 million African homes and businesses, said President Obama. In the interest of economic growth, it is critical for African countries to practice good governance. That is what ultimately attracts trade and investment. And finally, African countries need to invest in their young people. If Africa's young people flourish, if they are getting education, if they are getting opportunity, said President Obama, I'm absolutely convinced that Africa will flourish as well. If we do all these things, said President Obama, I know we're going to be able to move our societies and economies forward. And that will be good, not just for Africa, but it will be good for the United States and good for the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, former South Sudan First Vice President Riek Machar has called for an armed struggle against the government of President Salva Kiir, a move that could mark a renewal of the country's civil war. We'll discuss the new developments in South Sudan next on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
The U.S. presidential election takes place on November 8, 2016. VOA provides extensive coverage of this important political event. Who are the candidates, and what are the issues that will determine who the next president will be? Tune in around the clock for coverage of the U.S. presidential election, right here on VOA.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.